This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The Fed pumps the brakes. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Thursday, June 16. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The Federal Reserve lifted interest rates by 75 basis points to tame rising inflation, but said moves that large would not be common.
Responding to desperate pleas, the U.S. is sending $1 billion in new military assistance to Ukraine as it fights the Russian invasion.
President Biden is pressing oil companies to boost their output to lower the price of gas. Hear how he's walking a political tightrope.
And how to tell if your social media scrolling is a habit or an addiction.
So if you kind of collectively keep tabs throughout the day on all of those times, you can start to see a pattern and see like how much of your time is really being eaten up by social media.
Julie Jargon at the Wall Street Journal on how to assess your social media use. The U.S. is sending $1 billion in new military assistance to help Ukraine fight Russia's invasion. The package, which includes artillery, ammunition, and coastal defense systems, is intended to support badly outgunned Ukrainian forces in the Donbas region and blunt Russia's naval advantage in the Black Sea. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin hosted a meeting in Brussels of roughly 50 countries contributing to Ukraine's war effort.
When you're in a fight, you can never get enough. You always want more. You always believe that you need more. And I have been there. And so I certainly understand where the Ukrainians are coming from. And we're going to fight hard to get them everything they need.
In addition to the U.S. package, NATO members and other allies pledge new weapons and military systems to Ukraine. Meanwhile, Russia appears focused on controlling the Donbas region in eastern Ukraine. But British military said Russian forces in the region were believed to be operating in an ad hoc way in undermanned groups. As expected, the Federal Reserve approved the largest interest rate increase in 28 years and hinted it would continue lifting rates this year at the most rapid pace in decades to fight inflation. Officials agreed to a 0.75 percentage point rate rise at their two-day policy meeting that ended yesterday, which will increase the Fed's benchmark federal funds rate to a range between 1.5 and 1.75%. Fed Chair Jerome Powell forecast the federal funds rate will end this year at a range of 3.25 to 3.5% and next year at close to 4.
Clearly, today's 75 basis point increase is an unusually large one, and I do not expect moves of this size to be common.
The aggressive strategy is likely to further slow the economy and increases the risk of recession. The Fed's hike is likely to push up rates for credit cards, home equity lines of credit, and mortgages, among other loans. The Fed, by the way, lifts rates to curb borrowing, cool off an overheated economy, and fend off inflation spikes. Well, President Biden is warning CEOs of the nation's largest oil companies that he's considering invoking emergency powers to boost U.S. refinery output. Little else he has done has lowered the price of gas. Will this have any impact? We're joined now by Ben Geeman, energy reporter at Axios. Ben, tell us about his message.
President Biden's message to the largest oil refining companies in the nation is that he doesn't feel like they are doing enough to adequately supply the energy markets and specifically the gasoline and diesel markets with fuel, as we've had this incredible run-up in pump prices. You know, we now have the nationwide average for regular gasoline at over $5 per gallon. So what the president is saying is that, you know, there's both sort of an olive branch going on here and some criticism as well. His letter to Exxon and Chevron and Valero and Phillips 66 and some others says, look, you know, I think that you are prioritizing profits, essentially says, I think you're prioritizing profits over doing everything you can to more adequately supply the market. But then in sort of the same breath, the letter says, look, I know some of you are already taking what measures that you can, but I think you can do more, and I'd like to sort of see you come forward with some ideas for how we can sort of alleviate this incredibly tight fuel market. And he also said that the Energy Department is going to be convening what he referred to as an emergency meeting on this topic in the very near future.
All right. This just seems like, I don't know, wants to appear that he's doing something. I mean, this can't really have any impact, can it?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, I think it's going to be very difficult. You know, there's kind of this perfect storm. I know that's an overused term, but in this case, it's really accurate, right? I mean, we've got energy demand that has just surged back from the lows of the pandemic. You know, we've got a lot of constraints on the pace of increases in crude supply output, you know, both from what's happening with Russia, but some other forces as well. And yeah, you know, on the refinery question specifically, the U.S. and the world has lost a significant amount of refinery capacity since the pandemic began. I mean, some of it is because fuel demand went down, but there are other forces as well. You know, now we've got sanctions against Russia. We have some refineries that have been converting more toward biofuels output in order to meet sort of environmental needs. So there's really a great deal going on here. And yes, it's going to be very difficult to sort of restore this anytime soon. I mean, I think what to me is really interesting is you have a sort of, aside from the kind of details and specifics of the situation, you have sort of two colliding concepts or narratives, if you will, to use another overused term. One is you've got the president accusing the industry of, you know, sort of reaping these rewards and not doing absolutely everything it can. The industry, on the other hand, has come back to the administration and said, look, we're getting incredibly mixed signals from you, right? Because, you know, looking longer term and even medium term, you've said the country needs to hasten its transition away from fossil fuels. But at the same time, you're looking for more crude oil output, looking for more refinery output in the very near future. And their message is, look, investments are on much longer term cycles. So the message that we want your products now, but don't want them in the future, they say is simply not a sufficient policy and investment signal to really alleviate this problem. You know, another thing that's really important here is that when fuel prices are this high, you know, analysts that say, okay, at some point you're going to see what they often term as demand destruction. But that said, people are still taking to the roads in very large numbers because there's just so much pent-up demand to go and kind of do things, right, after we've all been sort of shut in for such a long time. So, yeah, to your point, I don't really see any sort of quick fixes here at all. I mean, I think perhaps certain things can be done at the margins, but until this terrible tragedy in Ukraine is resolved, until U.S. crude output and other output from elsewhere can be sort of restored and grow more quickly. I think we're going to have sort of tight fuel markets and expensive fuel for such a long time. The refinery issue is certainly a major piece of that, but it is hardly the only piece of that. I mean, you know, let's remember the most important factor in the price of gasoline is in the price of a gallon of gasoline is the price of a barrel of oil. And that looks to remain elevated for quite some time, too.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Geeman, energy reporter at Axios.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for joining us. If you missed anything, be sure to check out a podcast of today's show, available every day on the This Morning with Gordon Deal app, plus Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The Justice Department has filed federal hate crime charges against a white supremacist accused of killing 10 black people in Buffalo, New York last month. Peyton Gendron faces 26 counts of hate crimes and firearms offenses. Details in the complaint include a moment when the accused gunman turned to a white male victim who had been shot in the leg and said, "Sorry," before moving on. Attorney General Merrick Garland traveled to the site of the shooting yesterday and met with victims' families.
Hate-fueled acts of violence terrorize not only the individuals who are all attacked, but entire communities. Hate brings immediate devastation, and it inflicts lasting fear.
Mr. Gendron, who's 18, could potentially face the death penalty if found guilty. Officials declined to say whether it would be sought. Mr. Gendron already faces the possibility of life in prison without parole on 25 state charges in New York, including first and second degree murder and domestic terrorism motivated by hate. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The leaders of France, Germany, Italy, and Romania arrived in Kyiv today in a show of collective European support for Ukraine as it tries to resist Russia's invasion, marking the highest profile visit to Ukraine's capital since Russia invaded its neighbor. French President Emmanuel Macron called the visit a message of European unity towards Ukrainians. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg.
Russia's war against Ukraine is posing the biggest threat to Euro-Atlantic security in decades.
The meeting comes after the U.S. pledged $1 billion in new military assistance to Ukraine.
Number two.
Health officials advising federal health regulators are backing giving COVID vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna to children as young as 6 months old. The panel voted unanimously yesterday in support of expanding access to the vaccines. The FDA is expected to authorize the shots within days.
Number three.
Today's January 6th Select Committee hearing will focus on President Trump's efforts to pressure Vice President Mike Pence to summarily overturn Joe Biden's 2020 election victory. The presentation and testimony is expected to address the emergence of the theory pushed by lawyer John Eastman that Pence could unilaterally reject electoral votes cast in several states Trump lost. The public will hear how that theory was roundly rejected by lawyers in the White House counsel's office. U.S.-led coalition forces seized a man whom officials described as a senior leader of Islamic State in an operation in northeast Syria late Wednesday. U.S. military officials say forces detained the man said to be a bomb maker and facilitator who had become one of Islamic State's senior leaders in Syria. Washington Commanders owner Dan Snyder is refusing to testify in late June before the House Oversight Committee, which is investigating his team. The committee asked for Snyder and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to answer questions about the team's workplace culture and the NFL's investigation of those issues. Goodell is expected to attend the hearing. The next big flavors and food trends: pasta in different shapes with different ingredients, drinks featuring vinegar, and comfort foods made with plants. Those are some of the takeaways from a trade show happening this week in New York City called the Summer Fancy Food Show. Featured at the show, a J-shaped pasta with ridges, plant-based cheeses that mimic the richness of camembert, and squeezable instant pancake mix designed for parents and kids to make together.
Nice. If you could get comfort foods made with plants like crimpets and Doritos, we'd change the world.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Jen.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Talk of a likely housing bubble has intensified amid surging housing costs as buyers grapple with rising rates and home prices. Demand has begun to wane. Alcina Lloyd, economy reporter at Insider, joins us now with more. Alcina, set the scene.
As everybody knows, there's been lots of speculation right now of whether or not we're actually in a housing bubble. We've seen home prices rise to astronomical levels, and we've also seen housing inventory dwindle at the same time, too. So a lot of people right now are curious if we are, in fact, in a housing bubble.
Okay, so explain, I guess, what that would mean if we were in a bubble.
So bubbles usually come from an imbalance between supply and demand, which is what we're seeing in the market right now. But what makes it so differently right now is that we are severely lacking a lot of housing inventory, obviously, but also Americans also have a lot of purchasing power. So that's what's really making it different from this time, let's say, versus 2008.
We're seeing some signs of cooling. I just happened to be scrolling the other day on like homes in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I saw, you know, in red letters on, I don't know if it was Zillow or something, or red numerals saying basically, you know, price drop $10,000 or something like that. I think we're starting to see that in some spots.
Mm-hmm. We definitely are seeing certain markets. We're seeing price declines, especially as demand starts to wane, as affordability really has just plummeted to levels that some Americans aren't able to afford homeownership right now. So that is a concern.
All right. And then interest rates are weighing heavily on the market, too, I presume.
Oh, yes, they are waving. They're very heavy on the market right now. I think Freddie Mac just came out and said that Their data shows that the average rate of a 30-year fixed rate mortgage right now is up more than 2 percentage points from the end of 2021. So there definitely has been a difference in what borrowers were paying 2 years ago versus what they're paying now.
All right. So what's the larger shift that's looming here that you mentioned in your piece?
So the larger shift that is looming right now is the waning demand. We're used to this for the last 3 years. We've been 2 to 3 years. We've been used to this record home buying demand. There's been a lot of frenzy in the market as people really rushed out to try to lock in low rates. But because rates are climbing, we're starting to see buyers step back from the market a bit. So that explains why you're seeing these price declines.
We're speaking with Alcina Lloyd, economy reporter focusing on housing for Insider. And she's written a story called "A Housing Crash is Unlikely, but a Correction Could Be Around the Corner." Here's the difference. All right, so correction versus crash. And how might we go either way?
Well, I'll explain a little bit what a correction is versus a crash. In a correction, it would entail a gradual drop in prices to more sustainable levels. So you'll start to see prices decline slowly and slowly. Whereas the crash would be if we woke up the next day and prices dropped rapidly in every housing market. What we're seeing right now is a slow correction in the market. We're seeing a slowdown. We're not seeing prices rapidly decline in every housing market, just a few here and there. So I don't think we're bracing for a crash right now.
Thanks, Alcina. Alcina Lloyd, economy reporter at Insider. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Now, more than ever, where you get your news matters. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, June 16. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The Fed hikes interest rates by 75 basis points. The U.S. sends additional military aid to Ukraine. House Republicans want the Attorney General to investigate acts of vandalism and arson at anti-abortion offices. Dr. Anthony Fauci has COVID with mild symptoms. Chinese researchers say they may have picked up alien signals with their massive radio telescope. Warriors can win the NBA title tonight. And wrestling superstar John Cena's incredible effort to help Ukrainian refugees. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell Technologies and Windows 11 provide innovators with the tools to succeed. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. For advice and expertise, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. We all feel like we're addicted to our phones at times, right? Mindlessly scrolling through social media. How we address our behavior depends on whether we truly have an addiction or an unhealthy habit we can kick with a few adjustments. The difference, from Julie Jargon, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Julie, explain.
A lot of people feel like they're addicted to their phone, but the word addiction means some very specific things, and most people don't fall into the range of addictive phone use. But a lot of people do compulsively scroll through social media. And I found a journal article that kind of gave a good definition of what constitutes compulsive use. And it's basically any sort of behavior, you know, that where we feel we have to do something repeatedly, even when we know we really don't have to. And where that becomes a particular problem when it comes to social media is when that compulsion to check social media overrides our better judgment and causes us to do dangerous things like checking our phones while we're driving or crossing the road.
So tips for breaking out of that would be what?
Well, there are a number of things that that people can do to kind of understand their social media usage. And, you know, one of the things about distinguishing a habit from a true addiction is that habits are kind of things that are done on autopilot. And so some experts I talked to said one of the best ways to, you know, treat a bad habit and kick a bad habit is to be aware of them and bring it into kind of consciousness. So one of the ways to do that is to start logging how often you check your social media during a day. And that can include those little moments where we're waiting for a phone call or we're riding in an elevator. When we're not doing anything else, those kind of spare moments where we just instinctively peruse social media. So if you kind of collectively keep tabs throughout the day on all of those times, you can start to see a pattern and see like how much of your time is really being eaten up by social media. And so there are a number of things you can do. You can turn off the notifications to your apps. You can set do not disturb on your phone and set it to turn on automatically during either work hours or when you're driving. And really the key thing is to fill that time that you would normally spend on social media, especially if it's a larger block of time, with other activities. Because as one expert I spoke to said that if you don't increase other things as you reduce social media, you know, attempts to reduce social media usage won't work.
Some people go through withdrawal symptoms too, you said, like what?
Yeah, they're, you know, just like with substance abuse, any sort of behavioral dependency can also come with withdrawal symptoms. And those can include things like feeling anxious when you're not doing the activity that you have a dependence on. So in the case of social media, if you're not using it, if you're feeling irritable and anxious when you can't, you know, look at social media, depression, strong cravings for using social media, and insomnia, those can all be considered withdrawal symptoms and an indication that, you know, maybe you've got a more serious issue to deal with.
Speaking of serious too, I guess you might also find that social media is getting in the way of life. What would that look like?
Yeah, that's really one of the key things to kind of figure out if you've got a bigger problem than just kind of a habit that you might want to work on. And that is, you know, when you're continuing to do something despite harm to yourself and or others. So if you've got family members who are telling you you're on your phone way too much, this is getting in the way of things, you know, if it's impacting your sleep, your work, your relationships, other aspects of your health, but you continue to use social media anyway because you feel you can't stop, that's a strong indication that you need to do something about it.
What else stood out?
Well, you know, a couple of other tips that I've heard from experts is to kind of take a break, which sounds easier than it probably is to do. But one expert, you know, calls it a dopamine fast and recommends that people just take 24 hours to just not touch any screen-related devices and prepare for that by letting people know that you won't be reachable. And if possible, take that fast with family and friends so you're all kind of in it together. And then during that time, pay close attention to how you're feeling. And if you, you know, note down whether you're feeling anxious or irritable.
Thanks, Julie. Julie Jargon, columnist at The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, beer, golf, and crazy tattoos.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, this is apparently where we're at with the price of beer while watching sports these days. $10 for a Bud Light is considered not bad. That's the assessment of USA Today's For the Win site, which reported that beer for those attending the U.S. Open in Brookline, Massachusetts starting today will be on the more reasonable side, given how badly your typically ripped off at sporting events. If you're looking to cool down during the event, a Corona or Bud Light will cost you $10, with Sam Adams and Corona Hard Seltzer a dollar more. And while this may be on the cheaper side, relatively speaking, it still pales in comparison to the prices golf fans find at the Masters, where beers will typically run you half that price and sandwiches are only $3 a piece.
Mm. I was just thinking about this, and if there were like a Thai food truck or like an Asian food truck,
yeah,
you know, on the course,
yes,
it would be tremendous for the fans. I would really consider attending like a PGA event,
yeah,
if I could get Chinese food or something.
Problem is, you'd never actually see any golf. You'd just be hanging around the truck all day, right?
Yeah, I suppose. And what about just like the beer cart for the golfers,
right,
during the course of the tournament?
You know, just have it rolling around.
Yeah,
with them.
It's like, and it's you know, typically at the courses, where it's a teenage, you know, college age kid who's just in a cart peddling mm-hmm. beer and beverages.
Yeah,
I think it'd be great just to see a golfer like crack one like before teeing off.
this is the reason why, you know, you and the pro golfers are different.
Yeah,
this is the reason why those who are playing on the weekends here in New Jersey are different than the pros.
Maybe I would watch more on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
If I saw a guy cracking a beer before he teed off, right?
Yeah, a relatively cheap beer at $10. As I went to a baseball game a couple weeks ago, a Mets game. I hadn't been in a couple years, and they're up to $15 a pop now.
Oh,
yeah, that was a little bit of sticker. I was used to paying 10 or 11 is what I was thinking, and then it's up to 15 now.
15 for a beer.
Yeah, so you gotta you know, cash out some stocks if you're gonna be getting beer.
Buy 2 6-packs at home for that.
And speaking of things that are pricey, high-end sneakers can certainly set you back, which is why one man decided to make his favorite shoes permanent by having them tattooed on his feet. A tattoo artist from the UK shared this story on social media. Apparently, a customer was tired of paying to replace his worn-out Nikes and paid to have their likeness tattooed to his feet instead. The tattoo took about 8 hours to complete, and the images shared on Instagram have racked up millions of views. Commenters on the post were mostly big fans, though some made sure to point out the obvious, that it would be tough for anyone to walk a mile in this guy's shoes. Ugh. I mean,
that's some fine detail there.
It is, but then you do, like, you know, you do have to wear actual shoes, though. So who's going to see them?
Yeah, I guess at the beach.
I guess if you're the type that's walking around barefoot a lot, or maybe, you know, you wear a lot of sandals or something. But, you know, most of us do have to wear shoes, which means that these shoes are not going to be seen very much.
I mean, the artist even included like the perforations that would be on the top of the shoe. The laces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's amazing, and probably cost this guy, you know, who knows how many hundreds of dollars to get this for a tattoo that most people aren't going to see.
Well, that's impressive. you sent me this picture on Instagram, which reminds me that we've got our own little Instagram site going now.
We do.
This is pretty cool. This Morning with Gordon Deal is the Instagram site. I think yesterday alone we tripled or quadrupled our followers.
Yeah,
it's impressive numbers.
Wasn't hard to do, but we're making progress.
Okay, so the bar was low.
Yeah.
But we stepped over it.
Yes.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for Business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. As if Americans didn't already have enough to sweat about, a record-breaking heat wave combined with rising energy prices is hitting consumers with much higher air conditioning bills. The Wall Street Journal identified a number of ways to potentially ease the burden. First, try checking your eligibility for the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program to help pay current and past due electric bills. Also, reach out to your electricity provider to see what kind of assistance programs or services they might offer to help rein in costs this summer. For example, some companies offer smart metering devices that will alert you ahead of a peak pricing period. You can also install equipment such as smart thermostats and ceiling fans. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Federal Reserve approved the largest interest rate increase since 1994 and signaled it would continue lifting rates this year at the most rapid pace in decades to fight inflation. Fed Chair Jerome Powell says central bankers agreed to a 0.75 percentage point rate rise.
We have both the tools we need and the resolve that it will take to restore price stability on behalf of American families and businesses.
Powell acknowledged, though, it was becoming more difficult to achieve what is known as a soft landing, in which the economy slows enough to bring down inflation while avoiding a recession. He cited factors the Fed can't control, such as Russia's war in Ukraine, which has caused global commodity prices to spike.
Number two.
Federal prosecutors have brought hate crime charges against the man accused of killing 10 people in a racist massacre at a supermarket in Buffalo as Attorney General Merrick Garland traveled to meet with the families of those killed and survivors of the rampage.
At one point, he aimed his rifle at a white male Tops employee who had been shot in the leg and injured. Instead of shooting the white employee, the gunman apologized to him before continuing his attack.
The Justice Department charged the 18-year-old with 26 counts of hate crimes and a firearms offense that carries the potential penalty of death.
Number three.
The Senate Judiciary Committee is examining the public health effects gun violence has on children. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa.
We can't live in a society where violence is tolerated. In terms of violence and crime, our country's been has seen enough.
Senators participating in yesterday's hearing noted that firearms are the leading cause of death for children, and there should be a public health study on gun violence. Here come the clearance sales. Retail analysts say e-tailers that specialize in larger goods like furniture are lowering their prices. Sweatpants and other casual clothes that were a staple from work from home are going to be on clearance this summer. Retailers that sell their own lines of clothing and decor, such as Gap, could be especially inclined to mark down inventory because they can't pass the cost on to anyone else. TVs and laptops are also likely to be on sale as the chip shortage eases.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, John Cena. To the rescue.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Glad you could spend some time with us. Welcome into Thursday. John Cena went above and beyond to meet one of his biggest fans, a teenager with special needs fleeing Ukraine. Misha Rohozhin is a nonverbal teenager with Down syndrome who lived with his family in Mariupol. When the boy was told by his mother they had to flee their home amid Russia's invasion, it naturally caused a tremendous amount of stress and anxiety. In an effort to keep her son calm, Misha's mom told him they were leaving their home and traveling out of Ukraine to meet his hero, WWE superstar John Cena. She had no idea at the time that her story would turn into the truth. Cena learned of the family's story, and upon hearing they were refugees in Amsterdam, he turned the family's excuse into reality, surprising Misha with armfuls of merchandise and welcoming him with a huge smile. The two spent the day together comparing muscles, eating cake, and becoming friends. This is nothing new to Cena, by the way, who has granted over 650 wishes through the Make-A-Wish Foundation since 2004. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.